All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NBA podcast for Friday, January 26th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis
from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. DFSR.com/NBA gets you that free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. It's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Includes those optimal lineups, includes filters to, you know, weed out some of your GPP entries. You can also jump into our live chat room, our member chat room, where we're discussing basketball. People are discussing basketball pretty much all day. Well, whatever sport is the soup du jour, but right now, obviously, it's basketball. They're discussing it all day, and then James or I are in there every hour and a half minimum before lineup lock each night, discussing lineup news and the injury news and notes and kind of updating things for the rest of the night. So go check that out, free for 3 days, and then just $34.95 a month. After that, you're all set to go. And that'll include baseball, football when that comes around. We're working on some golf projections right now and some base hockey project. We have some base hockey projections as well. So go check that out, dfsr.com/NBA. Buddy, big Friday here in the NBA. Fridays are pretty much made for the NBA. They've co-opted, co-branded, whatever they do to just put all their, most of their teams playing on Friday. So we have a bunch of games going here. And actually, it's pretty interesting because the games, there's no game that starts later than 9 o'clock tonight. Do you remember a time where that's been the case? There's like no West Coast games. The last game of the evening starts at 9 p.m. Can you remember a time where it's likely for this big of a slate that we have just about every piece of news in before 7 o'clock?
Yeah, you'll see this on Saturdays and Sundays from time to time, but it is pretty unusual for Friday. But yeah, it definitely makes everything a lot easier, especially if there's any potentially hanging out there news, like maybe, I don't know, the Spurs tonight or Phoenix can sometimes be a late breaking situation. Yeah, this is definitely, it makes things a lot more certain and makes a huge slate like this a lot less random.
Yeah, it was like that with Jimmy Butler last night. Like, you were just kind of went into the 7 o'clock slate not knowing, and he was definitely a situation where if you were watching, they ruled him out like a half hour before the game started. But, you know, that's usually a sign that a guy had been testing it in warmups and just didn't, and just like he just couldn't go. And that was confirmed too, because when he watched the game, he was just, as opposed to being in street clothes on the bench, he was actually in his warmups. So that means he was out there testing it. And this is apropos of nothing for this slate, except that this is like sort of how teams roll with their injuries. There's like sort of a progression of injuries on whether or not, you know, like how close you are to playing. And so when you're ruled out 15 to 20 minutes before, it means you tried really hard to play. Actually, I have a question for you regarding injury news and notes. I know this is a Friday podcast and we're going to get into this, but I think this makes a difference for DFS. I'm just kind of throwing this question at you. I meant to talk about this off the air and sort of prep you on this, but I forgot. So whatever. So one of the new proposals for the NBA legalized gambling is that the NBA has submitted a sort of a proposal. I'm not sure they've submitted it legislatively or they just kind of thrown it out there toward the gambling sort of gods or whoever they may be, and said, we're for legalized gambling on NBA as long as we take 1% of every bet that's made. Like, we're going to take 1% off the top. And which I thought was interesting. I think legalized gambling, at least on a state-by-state basis, is coming down the pike. That I think is not really in debate. It's just a matter of the timeline now about when we wait. I think Jersey will be the first kind of domino to fall, and then we'll kind of go from there. But my question for you is, if this was the case, let's say NBA had their stake in the gambling piece of it, which is pretty genius, I think, to ask for. I don't know if other sports do this, but it's pretty smart, I think, to ask for this. Do you think we would see new injury reporting rules by the NBA if that were to happen? Like, because the injury reporting thing is kind of a mess in the NBA right now. Do you think if they introduced this other big piece of the financial pie, and this would make and the reason I bring it up, because I think this is actually really important for DFS. Do you think that we would see something along the ways of like just much more strict injury reporting? Like, you can't rule, if your plan was to rest, like yesterday, Tim Hardaway, your plan was to rest Tim Hardaway on the front end of the back-to-back. Announcing that 5 minutes before the game time, like, just isn't going to fly anymore in the NBA. Like, what do you think? Do you think, I'm kind of throwing this out to you, so I'm going to give you your gut check response on it. What do you think that would do to some of the ways that the NBA is much worse than the other sports in terms of like letting you know who's going to play?
So I think the biggest change it would make would probably be cleaning up the start times. Like right now, the point you've brought up in the past where it says 7 o'clock start, the game actually doesn't start until 7:10. But both bets in Vegas and for DFS purposes lock in at the stated start time. And that does cause a lot of problems. I mean, if one were to obtain insider information that Tim Hardaway wasn't going to play, or, you know, if you were down on the court, it creates sort of an arms race of information that I don't think is very healthy for DFS or the NBA in general, because there's definitely, there should be skill, right, in projecting out who's going to perform in DFS or just gambling on sports. There is plenty of skill involved in that. But when it comes down to insider information that you simply can't obtain, either at great expense or to, you know, ethical considerations from various organizations, then I think they want to avoid that as much as possible. So that's one area I could see getting cleaned up basically right away. After that, I think they would probably create, you know, perhaps a stricter protocol like we've seen with the NFL around what it means to be questionable, doubtful, probable, and so on. And that's like an actual percentage threshold. So, you know, if you kind of run afoul of that and they analyze your injury reporting at the end of the year, you could potentially be putting yourself in a bad position with the league. So, yeah, I think it can't be a bad thing to have people gamble on various sports. That's my general opinion, because what it does is it just raises the accountability level for everyone involved in those sports, especially to the consumer, the people who pay all these bills, the can pay $1 million to $1 million salaries because they enjoy the sport so much. And it's not a good experience for fans to go to a game thinking a star player is going to play and have them not show up. It's not a good experience for DFS players, obviously. And DFS has been a huge boon to the NBA in no uncertain terms. So yeah, this would be a hugely welcome change. I don't know how I feel about them kind of like dangling out this cat. Like, it's smart from a business perspective for them to ask for a cut on the points, but it's kind of strange too. But yeah, it's good for our purposes.
Oh, it's a disaster if you bet. It's gonna be a disaster if you bet, because it's just gonna raise the vig. It's gonna raise the rake and the vig on the bet. So like, it's not going to be. There are other things. I just thought it was a smart idea to be like, hey, if you're gonna do it, we'll take our little chunk too. Anyway,
it might raise the vig, but you know, keep in mind that the casinos have to be careful about the vig in general, because it's just like, it's just the rake, right? And if you raise the vig too much, people do walk away. It's why the rake currently isn't any higher than it already is, right? If they thought they could get away with it, these people are insanely smart, wildly data driven. If they could charge more right now, they would. I think it actually winds up cutting into their profits more than anything else, but it only cuts in on the margins. If they do insanely higher volume, you're not going to see too much problems, too much complaining from them.
All right, let's get into some of the games tonight. We have a bunch of injury news and notes that we'll kind of wade through. There's a bunch, and there's some starting lineup considerations. Some teams are switching around their starting lineups, so we'll talk about that as well. So interesting games, and let's break it down game by game. The first game we have is Atlanta goes in and plays Charlotte. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist came back last game, and then there's really not a ton of other news to kind of know about this game. Atlanta is a complete mess. They're doing their starting lineup shuffle in the sense that it's not a minute shuffle. They're not changing around the starting lineup. Guys like Taurean Prince played like 15 minutes last game, and the coach called them out for just like not trying. So it's hard to trust those minutes completely. We did see a few more minutes out of guys like Marvin Williams last game. He had out of the starting lineup for the Charlotte. Any thoughts on this game, specifically probably on the Charlotte side, because Atlanta is a pretty bad defensive team and we have targeted plays against them. Do you think we could talk ourselves into guys like Walker, Batum, maybe Dwight Howard, guys, I'm specifically looking on the Charlotte side here, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't look amazing. I mean, we threw them out there against New Orleans. It didn't really pay off. I mean, part of that was a game script thing. A lot of guys wound up losing minutes. On a points per minute basis, it was pretty reasonable. But, you know, on a huge slate like this, I'm not sure that's exactly where you're going to want to land. We did see Marvin Williams play a lot of minutes in each of the last two games. He's kind of one of these cyclical players where sometimes he falls into favor, winds up being in a 30 to 35 minute rotation, winds up getting there for you. But you know, you're definitely taking on at least a little bit of risk there. And then Dwight Howard, I mean, he's up to 10,000. I get that he's paid it the last two games, but I wouldn't be too pumped about playing him here, would you?
Nah, I mean, they don't have much in the way of interior defense, so that's good. So Atlanta kind of starts the, well, they don't start Deadman. Who do they start? Miles Plumlee, I think. So they just don't have much in the way of interior defense. How you like Dwight there? It's just that he's a terrible price, though. He's just way too expensive right now. Even if
the guy's averaged 37 fantasy points a game on the season, and I know that the minutes are up a little bit, but you know, say his average minutes right now will be about 35, and I think that's potentially even a little bit aggressive. So that's about 15% higher than his season totals. And if you raise this point total by 15%, you don't get a good payment. So, I mean, maybe in a phenomenal matchup at 10,000, you're talking like Brooklyn, maybe New Orleans, something like that. But I wouldn't be wanting to play him here against Atlanta.
I'm something encouraged by Marvin Williams' recent track. Now, the one game he played was without Kidd-Gilchrist, so I thought that the minutes would kind of dip back off. But with the MKG back and him again playing right around 35 minutes, that is encouraging because he's still coming pretty cheap. He has struggled for this season, though, so take that into mind. But he's only 4,600 on FanDuel. So if you thought he was going to play 33 or 34 minutes, he's a pretty good deal there at a power forward position. that's typically pretty difficult to fill. So don't mind Williams. Don't love him. Not a must play for me by any means, but an interesting guy if you think the minutes are going to trend back to the mid-30s or continue trending in the mid-30s. Utah goes in and plays Toronto. This is a pretty – I've said the word pretty like five times now. Jeez.
Classic skip.
Yeah, there you go. well, tell about why. I agree, but you can pretty much you can sum up why you think you're ready to just kind of delete this game from the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, it's two teams that play very slow, two teams that play really good defense, two teams that don't have outsized opportunity coming from anywhere, which is to say, you know, we don't have any lingering injury concerns here. No one is still a little bit too cheap relative to their current opportunity. What you have actually is like guys like Lowry and DeRozan, who are probably going the opposite direction, probably slightly overpriced relative to their current opportunity. And, you know, the rest of the Toronto team is just kind of unplayable. Donovan Mitchell is kind of like the Lowry or DeRozan of his own team in that a good player and all, but probably overpriced. And again, bad matchup both ways. You're not going to play anyone from this game for cash game purposes, almost certainly.
Toronto, this does not have anything to do with DFS, but Toronto has, I was pretty surprised by this, the third best point differential in the NBA. First, Golden State.
They're the best in the East for a while, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're the best in the East by a country mile. They're 3 points. They're 3 points ahead of the Celtics, 7.5 points above the Cavs, who are a complete mess. We'll get to them in a second. Yeah, they're only behind Golden State at 8.8, and then the Rockets at 7.4, and then you have the Toronto Raptors, pretty good this season. But yeah, they run varied rotations. They'll play Ibaka minutes sometimes and then not always. And mostly you just, even if you were pretty confident about the minutes, it's hard to fall in love with the matchup here at all. Now, a matchup we can talk about is Cleveland. So Cleveland goes in and Indiana goes in and plays Cleveland. Cleveland's a -6 favorite. Cleveland has said that they are going to switch up their starting lineup today, finally. Again, like I said yesterday about something else, this is could be shuffling the deck chairs in the Titanic, although season after season, we see something, you know, people getting down on the Cavs or them going through these lulls during the season. And it kind of happens. This one, I don't know. I want to say this one feels a little different, although I could get to the end of the year. Maybe that is going to be a silly statement. Either way, they're going to switch their starting lineup up. They're going to start Tristan Thompson. They're moving Jay Crowder out. They're going to move Kevin Love to the four. They're going to start Tristan Thompson. So it's going to be Thomas Smith, LeBron, Love, and Tristan. Now, I think that one thing that probably does is completely dust off Crowder's minutes. It's going to be hard, I think, for him to get into the game now, even with that second unit, because that second unit has been decently steady. But what do we want to do here with the rest of the team? Moving Crowder out doesn't take a ton of usage away, but it does kind of change the team dynamic. It moves Thompson into a center position where he's coming pretty cheap. It moves Love out of the center position where he'd been getting completely dominated by opposing bigs. Does it change for you any of your thoughts on how Cleveland sort of operates now from a DFS perspective in terms of opportunity?
I mean, maybe it's just so hard before we actually have definitive answers, right? I mean, I think Love, he's a potential guy we could take a look at here. I just think that regardless of what you're doing here, you're almost certainly taking on risk because teams can say whatever they want. And we've seen that there's some correlation between what coaches say and what actually happens on the court. But I think generally speaking, I'd like to have a couple game track record before I make any big bets, especially, I mean, if this were a smaller slate too, maybe you decide to read the tea leaves a little bit. Maybe you take some gambles and whatnot, but if it's possible to try to get a little bit more safety somewhere else, that's what I would try to prioritize.
Yeah, I think having Thompson on the court will allow Love to stay on the court a little bit longer, is my guess.
You don't have to hide him as much defensively.
Exactly, and depending on where Indiana is tonight, they're not a team that's going to punish you on the interior anyway. So Miles Turner still hasn't come back from the elbow injury. He's questionable tonight. He has been questionable the last couple of games. We'll have that news. But if they start him, it's a little different, I suppose. So Thompson can still deal with him. But if they don't start him, it's Sabonis, and that is not something you worry about. If they go Sabonis at the five and Thad Young at the four. So I think either way, Love is working with Thad Young here. And I don't think that is as much of a problem because Love's biggest issue, obviously, like you said, has been staying on the court. They haven't been playing for more like 29, 30 minutes because he's such a defensive liability. And that starting unit that they have been running out there with Isaiah Thomas, that Brian Windhorst was on Zach Lowe's podcast and just said, I think that was the worst starting five like in the NBA this season, like it wasn't even close, like in terms of like plus minus, like they were just, I wish I could quote this exactly, but it was like they for every 100 possessions, they were like 100 points in, 119 out. Like they were just getting completely demolished on defense. Yeah. It was a little sample size because Thomas hasn't been around a ton, but it was just, it was like the very worst five-man combination in the NBA that had played more than 70 minutes together, and it's the Cavs. Anyway, so we're going to take a look. We're going to kind of keep an eye on what happens here with the Cavs. I think we will know a lot more, like you said, after tonight's game in terms of minutes. Now, Indiana going the other way, Cleveland's the worst defense in the league, except for the Kings. They're running right with them right now. It's like one more bad game, and Cleveland would be the worst defensive efficiency team in the league. Do we want to continue? We've been targeting guys against Cleveland a lot. It just makes sense to give. Oh, I take it back. They leapfrog Sacramento. They are now the worst defense in the entire league in terms of defensive efficiency. Do we want to target some of these Indiana guys going against the Cavs?
Yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, we were kind of on an island with a guy like, say, Domantas Sabonis last game. And then he went up there. He actually didn't get the minutes against Phoenix, but he was just nuts, putting up 35 fantasy points in 24 minutes. If you think the true rotation for him is that 33 to 34 minute range, I think he's totally playable. And listen, I like Thad Young too. I mean, you talked about him as a potential good matchup for Kevin Young, Thad Young, Kevin Love. He's been kind of on fire recently, and he's been doing it on the defensive end. He's been scoring points, and I think that he could present problems for Love. I mean, he's faster than Love. He's more athletic. Actually, the problem with Young is kind of similar to Love in that he has trouble staying on the court in bad defensive matchups, but I think Love probably won't present too many issues for him there either. So I like both of those big men quite a bit. As for Oladipo, kind of on the expensive side now, he was a 60% play against Phoenix, kind of delivered, you know, perhaps a little bit underwhelming, but he was so highly played because of Darren Collison's absence. And I think Collison, I didn't double check this, but yeah, he's
coming back. He's going to be back, right? Tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. So if Collison's back, I think that probably takes the opportunity out of the backcourt guys, and it's going to direct my focus more towards the frontcourt guys.
Yeah, I agree. Oladipo is very expensive now, $10,000. It's hard to do that. It's hard to pay $10,000 for a shooting guard. And Oladipo trends pretty much as, I mean, he's a primary ball handler, and they get him the top of the key stuff a lot. So he does handle the ball more than, like, you know, your Kentavious Caldwell Popes or Avery Bradley's of the world, of course, starting a shooting guard. But still, $10,000 for him. You need to really be doing everything pretty consistently. Oladipo's close, but he's been great at times. But I get that this is a pretty great defensive matchup for him. Still probably just a little too expensive, and I'm with you on the Young thing. And yeah, I just like Indiana. Cleveland's defense is awful. There's no other way around it. The biggest over under of the night is Houston goes in and plays the Pelicans. Right now, the over under is at 229. That's 7 points higher than the Cleveland game. And then, I don't know, a lot, double digit points more than any other game on the slate. Houston only 3.5 favorites here. So you think they're going to put up points. When they played last time this season, I'm going to look this up really quick while I kind of talk, but I feel like the game put up, like, I don't know, 100 or 260 points or something like that, because both teams just shot the absolute lights out from downtown. Do you think this is a game we really want to work on stacking in both cash and GBPs, just simply because the over-under is so high? It does feel like this is going to be by far the highest scoring game of the night.
Yeah, I mean, whenever you get a total like that, it's obviously a sign. Well, one thing that it's a huge sign of is that the chalk is going to go in this direction. And, you know, I think a lot of the professional players model off of totals. I think a lot of casual players, you just almost can't help it, because, you know, you get rightful reputations of certain teams as being, you know, kind of high flying. And these teams both have high profile players on them as well. So, yeah, I think you're going to see big time ownership here.
I take it back. The first time they played the season, it was 130-123 Houston in regulation. So 150 or 200.
That's a pile of points in regulation.
Davis did not play in that game. This what a gut punch for New Orleans. I remember when I watched this game, New Orleans shot 55% from three and lost. That's pretty hard. It's pretty hard to take 33 threes, yeah, shoot 55%, and just not. The Rockets were at full strength that game. The Rockets were at full strength, but New Orleans was not. It's just a price problem with these guys. So you got Harden at 11-4. You basically have all the most expensive plays from this game. So you have Harden at 11-4. You have this is on FanDuel. You have Boogie at 11-7, and you have Davis at 11-5. Of those three, where do you think you would rank them in terms of guys you would want to play in cash games? All very expensive, and it seems like, you know, one of these three could just be the highest scoring play of the night. Do you have a feeling about how you would rank them, considering they're all in the same sort of price tier?
Yeah, I think I would start with the New Orleans guys in almost like no particular order here. I would probably prioritize Davis a little bit. I don't think I want to play Harden, and the reason for that is just the minutes. You know, he's come back after a five-game absence, and the minutes haven't been there yet. He played 34 against Golden State, 34 against Miami, just 32 against Dallas. You can point to game script things, but you can also I think it's also reasonable to suspect that a smart team like the Rockets looks at by far their best player in a season where they have by far their best chance of winning the title in quite some time. And they say, maybe we don't push it here, especially in a game against New Orleans where they're favored. I mean, I recognize that it's supposed to be fairly close here, but I suspect that the Rockets view this as a game that they're supposed to win. So I wouldn't mind Harden. Certainly, if you thought his true rotation is 37 to 40 minutes, he's a no-brainer play. But if you think it's going to be more like 32 to 34, then I'd much prefer the bigger guys.
It's interesting when you start looking at how teams are going to start managing themselves going into the playoffs, because you look at the Rockets right now, and they are, if I'm the Rockets, I say to myself, we're just going to be the 2 seed in the West. We're like 4 games back from Golden State. That's going to be pretty tough to catch up considering Golden State. But we're 4 games up on the Spurs in the 3rd spot. That's going to be pretty tough without Kawhi for them to catch us. I think they probably look at their situation and just say, we just don't need to go nuts here, right? Like, we don't need to go crazy with these minutes. We've seen that recently. Like, Ariza came back. He had been a huge minutes guy. That's really dropped off. As they get healthier, I think you're right. I just don't know if we're going to get back to those Harden at 38 minutes days on any kind of consistency, because the Rockets are about the smartest team in the league, right? And so why would you do it? So it's interesting to look at this game with a 229 over and say, I just don't know how much cash game exposure I'm going to have to it. And at the same time, I'm wondering if everything's maybe just a little too expensive.
Sometimes prices mess it all up, though. You know, like, I think this is like what makes DFS hard in particular, because, you know, I remember when we played on an old site that's now defunct, and they had fan mode, right, where you could just take all the best players and put them in there and kind of not sweat it out too much. And that game was a little bit more nuanced than perhaps it sounds. But the salary cap thing, it really messes up the casual players, because they're going to look at a game like this. Maybe if they're coming from season-long basketball, they're going to say, man, I can get James Harden and Anthony Davis on my team. And, you know, we see these people in our chat too, right? And then they're like, ooh, well, what other cheap plays can I take to make it so I can play all these guys or two of these guys? And tonight, given that you have a lot of good mid-range plays, maybe it comes about, right? Like, if we get some excellent punts, maybe you do wind up playing someone from this game. But right now, that's not the way it's heading in our system, and I feel totally fine with it.
Chris Paul is showing up on DraftKings at only 9,300. He represents probably the cheapest, you know, sort of upside play from the game, and I'm not even totally sold on him.
Well, it's just mostly, I'm talking about Harden, Davis, and Brown.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, I didn't realize he was on FanDuel too. I still think actually our system's a little bullish on Paul, because it's drawing a little bit from time without Harden, and probably need to work something along the way to correct
all the equipment for that. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. To smooth out what his opportunity looks like more one-to-one when Harden is around. All right, before we get into the rest of these games, hit us up with a sponsor.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about fantasyfactor.com. Fantasy Factor is a great place to go to play salary cap game formats like you're used to, without all those sharks putting in tons and tons of lineups and gobbling up all the equity. And they're actually running a really cool promotion coming up for the Super Bowl, where they're going to do Super Bowl squares right there on their DFS site. So if you like that Super Bowl squares experience, head on over to fantasyfactor.com and get started. And that's a DFSR exclusive, Doug. That is not even public information yet. So keep an eye over there, and you'll be pumped to play that thing online.
All right, let's get into the next game. We have the Clippers go in and play Memphis. The news and notes from this game are Tyreke Evans sat out last game with an illness. Now, sicknesses don't tend to last more than one game, so he's questionable right now. If I were to make a bet, I think he plays. JaMychal Green has already been ruled out. Jarrell Martin is questionable. There's just a bunch of James Ennis
ruled
out. Yeah,
we've been on this path before.
Well, yeah, I'm not even going to go down the Tyreke path, because this was a very last-second thing that came up last time Memphis played, and it kind of threw things into flux and kind of ended up playing a little Andrew Harrison, who ended up basically getting there near the end.
5X, my friend. 5X. That's getting there in spades. Easy game, boys.
Oh, no, I'm saying he basically got
there.
It was
all the last minute of the game, I know.
Exactly. Yeah. He needed every one of those last
game, boys.
two and a half minutes to really get there, because it was not looking good for Mr. Andrew Harrison. You know, Wayne Seldon got the start also. You know, if Tyree comes back here, are we in a situation here with Memphis where it's kind of Tyreke and Gasol's team from a scoring perspective, and after that, the rest of these guys, even when Tyreke's there, it's just like no one really stepped up to take any of the fantasy, any of the fantasy upside at all. If Tyreke's back, is this kind of a skip for us just because they spread out their opportunity pretty thin over there in Memphis?
I think so. I mean, if you just look at this game log, because, you know, I looked at this really hard trying to project the minutes, and I simply couldn't figure out a way. So obviously the average team plays 240 minutes in a game. I couldn't figure out a way to give this team more than 215 minutes. And I was like, wow, whatever. I just gave up, which is really unusual. Like, normally we try to iron it all out, but I was like, I can't credibly project these last 25 minutes with no JaMychal Green, no Jarrell Martin. And so what wound up happening? Well, Yvonne Rob got the start. He played I think it was like 15 minutes, 16 minutes.
Barely played. Yeah.
Your boy Mike Henry, that's M-Y-K-E Henry, wound up starting the second half over Rob, so he's a shooting guard, go figure. Played 21 minutes, was terrible. Wayne Selden got the start, was terrible. Brandon Wright played a few minutes, he was also bad. There was no one over 6'6 that did anything at all on this team during that game. So, yeah, unfortunately, on the surface, it sure looks like, believe me, I fell into this trap, it sure looks like there should be some opportunity available. There isn't, so I will not be playing anyone for this team.
And then that goes even for Tyreek's back, because I don't think you can slot him in here either. And then going the other way, the Clippers are just in a bad matchup against Memphis. Memphis very, very slow, still pretty good defensively, mostly on the back of their pace is so slow, and they have good.
They're the slowest team in the league.
Yeah, and good interior defense with Gasol. So, and Jermichael Green's a very good interior defender too, but he kind of does cut into a little bit if he's not around. That being
again, where DVP and even defensive efficiency can run into problems, because like a lot of these guys have been coming and going all season. Yeah. So it's really hard to pinpoint how they're going to perform in any given game unless you happen to have access to, you know, player specific, almost like an NBA Wowie, but for defensive efficiency, which maybe we'll invent that. That sounds like a good idea. Quick, edit this part out of the podcast. But if you don't have that, then I think looking at overall pace is still probably going to be the best place for you to start when trying to make evaluations like that.
Moving into the next game, we have Milwaukee is going to take on Brooklyn. The big news in notes for this game is that Giannis is coming back after a 2-game injury stint with some knee soreness. He said he's ready to play tonight. He's been listed as probable to play, so I think we're going to get him back. Middleton and Bledsoe have been guys that had obviously taken over a ton of usage. Malcolm Brogdon as well. That's going to go kind of by the wayside. They do get a good matchup here against Brooklyn. They're -6.5 favorites. And I don't know, Giannis coming back. Giannis's upside in the past has been his insane minutes. He's been great this season. A little bit worse since Bledsoe came around. But what do we want to do? It's a good matchup here against Brooklyn, and I'm just not totally seeing it because the other guys' prices have come up because of their opportunity. And now the exact reason they had that opportunity is coming back into the lineup. Are we feeling comfortable with some of the minutes coming right back from Milwaukee, or do you think we just kind of need to take a wait and see approach on Giannis? And also, by the way, the other piece of news here is that obviously this is their first game with Giannis with no Jason Kidd. So Jason Kidd got fired two games ago, and now they have they're using their interim coach. So with all that being said, do we kind of just want to take a wait and see approach on the Bucks?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly introduces a little bit of uncertainty to have your coach just change. Like, that's not where you want to be normally when trying to invest 11-6 into a player. But with Giannis, I mean, he's missed 4 games with the knee so far this season. He said he was good to go for this game on Wednesday. So I think that news probably leads me to believe that he is in line for his normal rotation. But if we just have a fresh coach here, he might just come in and say, "What? This is insane. We can't play this guy 38 minutes a game. We got to put him on a 34-minute rotation." So understand that it's a terrific matchup. I really wish we had at least one game in a bad matchup first. Like, I wish he was playing Memphis so we could just kind of ignore it. But I think the upside is great enough, and I think you're taking on plenty of risk at any of the other payoffs. Like, for such a big slate tonight, there actually aren't that many big safe payoff guys. Like OKC not playing tonight, Golden State not playing tonight, Harden's overpriced coming back from injury, the New Orleans guys I think are the only other guys in the kind of in that conversation in terms of the big payoffs that you're going to feel happy about. You know, LeBron hasn't been getting there. The Charlotte guys are overpriced. So I think for that reason, you will see significant Giannis ownership tonight. And I think it's riskier than it appears to the average user.
And Brooklyn, they're still just doing the thing with it. No one plays more than 29 minutes on this game and this team. So it's you know, every once in a while you can play Damari Carroll and Alan Crabb when they fall cheap enough. And I just don't see them as they need to fall like on FanDuel right around the 5,000 mark. And it'll happen because they're never getting the minutes upside. And just a couple games where it just doesn't really go all that well for them and the ownership is low, they'll fall back down. You just kind of need to wait and pick your spots with Brooklyn. I don't see tonight as being one of those nights. Lakers go in and play Chicago. Pretty high over under for this game too, 220. Actually, this is the third highest total of the night. There's no total in on the New York and Phoenix game yet. So that one might climb up to the same range. But Lakers go in and play Chicago. The news here is that Lonzo Ball is going to sit out again. He has sat out the last, I think, 4 or 5 games. They've started Tyler Ennis, but it's really been Jordan Clarkson who's taken over most of the minutes. Yeah. So Ennis plays about 14 to 15 minutes a game, and they basically bring in Clarkson to handle basically all the secondary point guard duties and just take all the usage and just kind of do everything. Clarkson's been amazing. Are we trusting Clarkson to play you know, something like 34, 35 minutes in this game. I'm always, we've talked about this before. I'm always very hesitant to do this kind of thing with guys coming off the bench. And we just have the same exact situation with him as has been with that since Ball went down, 34, 38, and 34 minutes in the last three. What do we want to do with Jordan Clarkson here? He's averaging 19 shots a game in that time.
I think you can give him 34 minutes. I think that's probably pretty safe in this spot. And I think that, yeah, the shots are very, very significant here as well. One thing that's worth noting, and I think this guy's actually a pretty good value play tonight too, is Brandon Ingram. So Ingram didn't play that first game against Indiana when Clarkson really went off. He did return, and his minutes have sort of been scaling up. And I don't know, it's an exact one-to-one, like shots that go to him come out of Clarkson's mouth. And Ingram has been more of like an across-the-board contributor rather than being as hugely scoring dependent as Clarkson is. But I think, and I think, by the way, this just makes Ingram a great value. We saw that his true rotation early in the season was 39 to 40 minutes, came back from injury against New York, 24, 33 against Boston. I think you could continue to see that rise. Nice matchup against Chicago. So I think he's a really, really good play. As for Clarkson, I think you just give him his fair minutes, which is around 34, and play him if that seems to make sense. I think he's demonstrated reliability on this price point and then some. And just know that sometimes when you play a guy who's a backup like this, you just will get a 30-minute game. And I don't know that you need to play him for cash, but I wouldn't avoid him if he were coming through.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think Ingram at 5,800 on FanDuel is definitely almost way too cheap if you think he's going to play something like 30.
It's almost a must play.
35 minutes, yeah. And so like that call, Clarkson at 7,500, probably too expensive. And I think you're just buying more to, you're going to get more downside than upside, I think, at that point. Like, he's been very good. I get that part of it. He's also shot way better than he's really shot for his career. He shot 73% the first game, 63%, and then 47% in the last game. So you're not really, you're not likely to get that kind of shooting percentage plus the volume on him. And you definitely need that to pay off the 7,500 price. Chicago side of the ball, they are still without Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn with the concussion, slamming his face into the court, is not going to be back anytime soon, which is kind of scary because when you have no time till you'll return for a concussion, that means that's pretty bad. So a little scary situation for him. They have started Jerry and Grant since he's been gone. Zach LaVine's minutes are on the climb. He looks like he's going to be locked in to something like 25 to 26 minutes. So that continues to probably cut into some of the usage. Anything you like here on the Chicago side of the ball?
I mean, unfortunately, Jerry and Grant was a guy that looked like he was going to be the heir apparent to all that usage and minutes for Dunn, but he was pretty terrible in the first half of their last game. Wound up not getting the start in the second half. David Nwaba went out there and started the third quarter, and Grant just played just 25 minutes. And I think at this point, we have no news as to which direction they're going to go at the beginning of this game. And I think that, you know, introduces a lot of uncertainty into a spot that should be a dynamite punt, you know, just being able to, I mean, it's not even a punt really, 6,300, but should be an excellent play against the Lakers in an extremely fast paced matchup. And with a team that's allowed, you know, among the top in the league in terms of fantasy points to opposing point guards this season. But unfortunately, yeah, I don't think we have enough certainty around where those minutes are going to go at this point. If there's any announcements or we hear any big news leading up to lock, maybe we reevaluate. But right now I'm feeling a little bit too dicey about those minutes.
Yeah, I agree. Chicago, and as they work LaVine back into it too, I think that LaVine,
another question mark.
Yeah, he was brought in there to be sort of the guy on this team with that in that Butler trade. So I think that you're just going to see him continue to get, he takes a lot of shots. He will handle the ball at times. And the more his minutes go up, the usage on everyone else is likely to continue going down. And the bigs just don't play enough minutes. Markkanen really is just locked into 30 minutes. Robin Lopez, you can kind of pick the night that he plays 30 and then we'll play 20. So it's difficult to figure that one out. And, you know, Mrotić and Portis at times will play minutes, but they're still coming off the bench. So Chicago is a tough one to get a handle on, which is a shame, like you said, because this is a very good matchup. Portland goes in and plays Dallas. No line on this game, although I'm not exactly sure why there wouldn't be a line in this game because there's no huge injury news that kind of hanging out there. Two pretty slow teams. Dallas is very slow, both pretty good at defense. Anything that you're seeing here, this kind of strikes me as one of these slow defensive matchups that I'm not likely to have a lot of exposure to on a big slate.
Yeah, I mean, you can just go back and listen to what I said about the Utah-Toronto matchup earlier. There's no outsized opportunity being created here. Slow teams, appropriately priced teams, not teams that we generally target for value in general. So place them against each other, and then you just get to just skip this game altogether and never have to rotate it over to it on your league pass.
I wouldn't say that. Some of these games are worth watching. You don't have to be rooting for a player to.
This is
to...
not one of them, though. Is this one of those games that's worth watching? On
nah, no, no, this one isn't. But maybe like Toronto, Utah might be. But I don't think this one would be. Philadelphia.
Will Dallas get the top overall pick in the draft? Find out tonight against Portland.
What was I going to say? Philly goes in and plays the Spurs. The big news from last game was that Ben Simmons went completely off, and I was invited to go to that game and couldn't.
You called it, buddy. Do you want to pat yourself on the back? Because I got to say, you told me, because I looked at that. I saw everyone complaining in the chat that Simmons was showing up in there, and I sent you a sanity message. I said, Doug, everyone's complaining about Ben Simmons, and you said, I think he's the best overall play on DraftKings tonight. He's an absolute must play. Now, granted, 85% of the field agreed with you, but exactly. 85% of people were smart in this case, but a FanDuel, he was just a 50% start one, just dropping a little 19, 17, 14. And those rebounds were, if you were to add up the rebounds from his three previous games, you get there too. So yeah. Simmons is a man on the rise. Terrible matchup, though. Do you really want to play him here?
Nah, it was one of those funny ones because it was like, I thought he was in a great spot, and to get that kind of performance was kind of dumb, like how good he was, because he just did things that he hadn't been doing at all. And like I said, the reason he did that was because I was going to say this, I was invited to go to that game and couldn't go because of my new baby. And I think that pretty much guaranteed that they were just going to go completely off in like a very exciting way, where rare do you get the play time where you're going to go to a game and it just makes sense to roster the guys from the game. So you can just go insane rooting for what's going on. So it was that kind of double dip thing. And then I just got text from my buddies that were at the game the whole time, just talking about how great it was. What? So a little, knife.
I think it will pay off in the long run. I think the whole baby thing does tend to get there eventually, but it's definitely
not when you miss
it's
that
a night tonight. It's on a night tonight basis.
Not when you miss that kind of Ben Simmons game. It doesn't. So, tonight, the other thing with Simmons for that game was we were very high on him. And look, this it didn't come out of nowhere. He was a huge shock start, at least on DraftKings. But is that there had been news that he was going to get more minutes with TJ McConnell out. McConnell is going to be back tonight, so it was only personal reasons that McConnell missed the game. He's going to be back tonight. Do you think that cutting in with the very bad matchup they have against the Spurs seemed like just the kind of team that Ben Simmons doesn't want to play? Because I'm sure they watched 30 seconds of tape and were like, oh, here's what we're going to do with this guy, right? Like that's kind of how it strikes me is what's going to happen with Simmons. Do you think coming off those big games that he is a guy that we just avoid?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just, you get a big game, you don't need to just keep forcing a guy. It's too bad, but it's a big slate. I don't think you need to stretch here.
Aldridge should be back tonight after getting rest the last game. So I think that kind of takes off Bertans possibly a little bit, though he might still start. It'd be interesting to see. They got Gasol back as well. So they should go back to the Gasol-Aldridge front court in this game. Deontay Murray is a guy that, I'm a little confused because he's entered the starting lineup for Parker, 28 minutes against Indiana, 30 against Cleveland. So those are two of the best matchups you can basically get in terms of going for a point guard. And then you get Memphis and he only plays 24 minutes, but that was a blowout. Where do you think we stand with Murray here? Do you think the plan is to play him 30-ish, maybe even a little bit more minutes if the game's going correct? And if that's the case, are we still wanting to buy on his price, specifically on FanDuel where he's coming under 5,000? Well, you know, he's 5,800 under 6,000.
I think he's another guy. Like, I'm interested in playing Murray. I was interested last time, and actually, this was another thing our chat was concerned about. Our members only chat, if you can get access to over there at dfsr.com/NBA. The chat was worried here because they were aware, I think rightfully so, that Murray was going to be a chalk play against Memphis. He was higher than 60% ownership. We wound up offering gentle guidance downward on the minutes and totally paid off because that game got out of hand in spite of the Spurs resting some guys. But given that Memphis was resting everyone, it seemed pretty clear that it was going to head in that direction. I do think his true rotation here is that 29 to 30 minute range. And I think that makes him playable on this price point. But again, I'm just not sure it's exactly where you're going to wind up needing to land. You know, our system sort of likes him, but doesn't love him. It just sees a lot of other good, cheap value in some other places that maybe you don't expect. But, I don't think it's going to necessarily just lock him in as 100% play and force you to play him in all formats or anything.
Yeah, I like him and I don't like him. I like him because I think the minutes are there. He's a little bit cheaper on DraftKings. He does a lot of stuff. He rebounds the position very well for a point guard. He's a good, very good defender, and he's got size and he can rebound. The assist numbers are fine. There's so much ball movement on the Spurs, and they don't play like that traditional they play a point guard set, but they move the ball so much that everyone's going to get a chance to get an assist as they kind of swing it around. And he just doesn't shoot threes. And that's just sort of a problem when you're a point guard from a fantasy perspective. Like, you need to really hit a lot of upside. You need to do one of two things. You need to, you know, do everything else really well, which he actually kind of seems to do, or you need to hit threes. And he just doesn't take any threes at all. Like, he's averaging 0.4 right. threes a game this year. So you need, he's never going to, because of that, he's just likely to never, not likely to ever be a big scorer. So you need to know that, and you kind of need to hope that he's going to throw in a bunch of like the seven steals against Cleveland, that's going to be it's a variable way to play. So just cautious with Murray, and I still kind of like him for the price. Final game, 9 o'clock game. The Knicks go in and play Phoenix. The Knicks, it'd be interesting to see what they do here, but they rested Hardaway on the front end of the back to back last night. He'll be back tonight. Started Ron Baker for reasons, I mean, completely unknown. But Ron Baker drew the start. Except Ron Baker's got to be the worst starter that's entered the NBA this year. Like, I was trying to think about this last night, about a worst player that got a start for like a team.
Multiple starts in the game.
He's so bad. Anybody else. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, Hardaway's back tonight. It'll be interesting to see if they plan to rest anyone on the back-to-back. They've been cautious at times with guys like Kristaps. But there's no news right now to suggest that. There's also no line in the game. So that makes me feel like Vegas is thinking that this could be the case. And then on the Phoenix side, they have said that they are going to switch up their starting lineup again. That news came out yesterday, though there was no indication as to what that would be. And the last time they said that, that meant that Greg Monroe started. I don't know if that's going to be the case here again.
That's exciting. We don't know yet. That's so exciting. I can't wait to find out.
Marquise Chris is coming back too, so maybe that just means they're going to switch him in, though that doesn't seem like that would warrant that kind of news because he was the starter before. Let's start with the New York side of the ball. Phoenix is the best matchup you can get in DFS. Kristaps, Courtney Lee, I mean, even Hardaway, knowing that last night's rest was just a rest thing and not an injury thing. Where do we stand with wanting to target some of these Knicks?
Yeah, I like Courtney Lee. I think Hardaway's return really hasn't affected him very much. Not nearly to the degree that I thought it might anyway. He's been topping 6X, 7X on these prices routinely. Seems like a great play tonight once again. I think Hardaway's playable. I mean, he's a little bit expensive now. I think that a lot of this price is kind of building in to the expectation that he's going to just hop right back into these 35 plus minute rotations like he did in that Golden State game. But I think the Knicks may have just been getting a little bit excited in that game and just leaving him out there. I think that he's fine on this price point, don't get me wrong, especially against Phoenix, but probably slightly riskier than it seems. I still think you could just stack both of them though. Like, you just play both and, you know, kind of hope to get there. Porzingis is a guy I'm curious to know your thoughts on though, because we've seen the Knicks do this so many times throughout the course of his brief career where he'll just be out there playing 38 minutes a game, no problem. This is the new Porzingis rotation. And then just seemingly out of nowhere, it'll be like, yeah, I know this is going great and all. 43 minutes against New Orleans. Yeah, you're just going to play 30 minutes a game now. No reason. That's what you're going to play. Trust Porzingis' minutes to come back, or do we just like throw our hands up and say, just can't play him in DFS?
I mean, look, I'll just go back to my Ron Baker. This is a team that thinks starting Ron Baker is a good idea. Yeah. Like, and this is a team totally that wants to make the playoffs, by the way. Like, they're, you know, 4 or 5 games out of the playoffs right now. I think that they want to make the playoffs. And I mean, they might, maybe guns to their head, they don't, but they're not in full tank mode. So like, they're like in this middle ground of where do we land in the draft right now? Their draft pick wouldn't be all that good. I guess all this is all to say is they're a mess. And when teams suck at this, like the Knicks do, you simply don't know. I like last night was a little bit of foul trouble. He was in foul trouble. He got his fifth foul midway through the third quarter. And I think the plan was to play him like mid 30s minutes, and they just couldn't because he had the 5 fouls. There was like 3 minutes left to go in the third, and they just need to set him. And then the game was, they never got back close enough near the end to like give him the full run. So I think maybe the plan was last night, the 33, but we just have no idea because the Knicks think of this, like you said, close games, you know, the close game. So the reason I'm sort of bullish on it is because if you look at his minutes, the Lakers game was a blowout. He only played 28 minutes. Okay, you can explain that one away. Utah, he played 31 minutes, but he had 5 fouls. So he was in foul trouble for that game as well. The Memphis game, he played 33, and I think probably, and they lost, and maybe he buzz off a minute or two at the end. I think the plan is 34, 35, and I don't feel comfortable with it. And I think that he might be a really popular play here at 8,700. I think he's a guy that I'm going to probably think about going back and forth on the most. That's my long-winded answer to say I don't really know. Phoenix side, You know, are we hoping to get a Greg Monroe start here? Is he too expensive now? He was amazing off the bench the other day.
No, like he's not too expensive now. If he's going to play 29 or 30 minutes a game, like this is too cheap, actually. So I don't know. It's I'd really like some news, you know, and I don't know that Alex Len being out again would be enough, but it sure seemed like it last time.
Yeah, that was we made a mistake last time because Alex Len had been ruled out and they don't have another backup center, and to not give Monroe on our side like 24 minutes was probably a mistake, and he greatly exceeded that. He's been amazing from a fantasy points per minute, one of the best in the league, really. And so if he was going to get a start, he's just the exact kind of guy you want to start, right? That 4700 price tag on FanDuel just makes making lineups, especially with the center position, just so much easier because center is already bad tonight. So I think we're going to be doing some many silent prayers that one of two things happens. One, either he just enters the starting lineup and we just leave no doubt and we're just good to go. Or we get Alex Len news that he's out, and I think we can still comfortably give him 24 to 25 minutes and feel pretty good about it. One guy I didn't actually mention on New York was Kanter. I think you can consider Enes Kanter here. He's a guy who's always just sort of weirdly priced because he just doesn't play enough minutes. But if the games where he hits 28 to 29 minutes, he gets great upside, and he's got too many 21 to 20 minutes games on his game log to really make you feel good about it. So I think you can consider him. And I think you also take a look at Booker and Warren. I'm kind of cutting this short because we're running way over time. All right, we're going to get out of here, buddy. Enjoy a big Friday night in the NBA. A lot of news to kind of dive into. Go over to the site, dfsr.com. Not you, buddy. You probably have the site bookmarked, actually, because you go to it so much. But for everyone else, dfsr.com/NBA will get you that free 3-day trial. So go check that out. Go into the member chat room. You sign up for the free 3 days, and then you can go in for free and just talk to people about how they use the service and how they enjoy the service. They'll give you their honest answer, and you're all good to go. dfsr.com/NBA, free for 3 days, $34.95 a month. Buddy, enjoy your Friday night in the NBA. Go Enes Kanter.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom.